What's your first name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy, do you pay attention to politics?
Somewhat.
It's hard to ignore, isn't it? It's everywhere.
It is.
Yeah. Do you generally vote on the right or left side of the aisle? Have you gone both ways in the past? Or?
Mostly on the left.
Do you consider yourself a moderate Democrat?
I do.
Have you been happy with the job President Obama has done?
Really?
I have been generally happy, but with some concerns.
Do you wish he'd been more progressive than he'd been?
No. I think he pushed too hard and too fast on some issues, like health care, at the risk of offending a lot of people in the country and making it more difficult for Democrats in general.
What about single payer? How do you feel about that? Is it not realistic for the United States?
I think that's a really tough call to roll back a system that dramatically it impacts people who have spent years in med school and practicing medicine, and I think that's a very difficult thing to do.
Are you feeling the burn?
No, I'm not.
Too much for you?
A little too much.
What about Hillary? Will you pull the lever for her?
I will prefer Hillary to Bernie, but if Bloomberg enters the race, I think it's a tough thing for him. He's got the money to do it without worrying about where it will leave him. I don't think he's concerned about impacting his legacy. He will spend a lot of money running a lot of polls internally to see where things will shake out. I'm just not sure how. I don't know what he'll do.
Justice Scalia passed away, and there's a lot of controversy around that already, as you would have guessed there might be. Should President Obama have the right to nominate
Absolutely.
Someone?
Absolutely. Absolutely he should. There's no basis whatsoever in law or reason for the Republicans to be obstructionists the way they're planning on being.
You fully expect them to
I fully expect that.
Thanks for your time.
Thank
Here's
you.
My card. All
oh,
the best
thank
to you.
You.
Tomorrow night at 6.
Thank you.
Clay Pigeon with you on the Dusty Show. This is Captain Beyond. I'm glad you're with me. I didn't know what Captain Beyond sounded like. It's better than I thought it would be. I really like it. 1,000 days of yesterdays.
Bye.
days of yesterday, so long goodbye, so long. Today is yesterday, soon again, perfection, see myself out there. Where's the start and where's the
What's your first name?
Jay.
Jay, your friend here said you're the guy to talk to if I want to talk politics. Do you generally favor President Obama, or are you not on his side of the aisle?
I'm probably pretty positive.
You're positive for the president?
Yes.
Justice Scalia passed away last weekend. It's kind of thrown things into an uproar. Do you think the president should be allowed to appoint a justice, or should we wait for another president?
Well, from what I understand, according to law, he should be appointing a justice right now and not wait around. Otherwise, the court's sitting around doing nothing.
I'm guessing you're not surprised that Mitch McConnell and company would like to put the brakes on things till after the election.
I'm not surprised, but I think I'm probably surprised at how quickly he did it.
The body wasn't even cold yet, and he's already making it's like it was planned. I mean, I'm neither for nor against it, but in this particular situation, this process that's in place says this is what you're supposed to do. Waiting, what, 10 months to do nothing? Because of what? We're talking about the legal system. People are going to make decisions. People are going to vet. People are going to make, is this reasonable? And then they're going to vote. And they're taking that whole process away for 10 months. Why? Just because it's politics as usual.
If the president were currently a Republican and this happened, would we want him to wait until the election? Is it just human nature?
It's the same thing. Democrats would do the same thing. It's one of the problems with the two-party system.
Would you like to see more parties?
I mean, I'd like to see anything, what we got now.
And I just talked to a man who said he thinks Bloomberg's going to jump in and he wants to vote for him. How do you feel about that?
No, I think that Bloomberg coming in late, that's what I think, is late to the party. He's going to make it so that you have no other options. I'm going to give you a third option. He's watering down a system. That's not the way it works. Then it's a free-for-all. Then everybody who's got money and visibility should jump in. And now I'm going to get four, five, six different. Then we start changing the way the political system is going to work. I don't think it's right.
Everybody's talking about Donald Trump. What are your thoughts on him?
I'm amazed that people are not listening to what he says.
In what way?
He will flip-flop on issues. He will say outright lies. And nobody holds him accountable, as long as he's being strong.
The media included?
The media included. He'll talk over the media. The media can't get a word in edgewise, so he's bullying the media as well.
Trump is the phenomenon in this whole situation. You know, it's an indictment of the process, one, but second, you're going to have a situation where he's getting away with it because the American public wants him to get away with it. No one's putting up a fight because they're tired of the same old noise, the same old system. He's not the answer.
Is it the same thing that's making people lean toward Bernie on the other side?
No, I think Bernie's got the message to, and the, you know, they talk about how much young people are drawn to him. He's promising young people free education. He's promising people free health care. None of it's free. And he's making it sound that way. So yeah, if I'm a young kid coming up, I'm going for Bernie because I'm going to go to school for free. That's not the way it works.
You're not feeling the burn, though.
I'm not feeling the burn. I don't need a burn witch or a sandwich or whatever it's what they got going on.
Do you like Hillary? Excited about her candidacy, or will you just pull the lever because she's the best thing going?
I actually think Hillary's capable, and I hate her campaigning. And I like when she's not campaigning, which was Secretary of State, and spoke from, I guess, the heart or the head, too, but wasn't in campaign mode. And I think she takes on a different persona when she's campaigning. It's not representative of who she might be.
Did we see the same thing happen to Kerry and Gore? When they start running for president, they stiffen up a little bit. Something happened. They're so afraid to even say anything that it might be misconstrued.
Yeah.
That's why Trump is appealing right now.
That's right. He's in his element. You got a camera shining, the little red lights on, and Trump goes. Hillary wants to be the administrator. My difficulty with her is that it could be that she's just holding office. I don't know if she's a real lead the country person. That part I'm never sold on. I get she can make decisions. I get that she can rally the right people. But is that what the country needs now? That part I can't answer.
Are you guys optimistic about the future of the country?
Yes. But it's a hard question. The voting public scares me in this election a little bit. I think we're in for some turbulent times, but nothing. I mean, the country is incredibly strong. The economy is strong. We are light years ahead of everybody else around the world. So if we could calm down and kind of wrap our arms around each other, we would be fine. But the problem is we're pulling each other apart.
Well, you got the rise and fall of empires. We're past anything that's been our, you know, golden years. So at some point, it's got to decay and rebuild. How far down the decay are we? I don't know. We are. I think there's a ways to go for us to feel good about ourselves. Yes, we do well economically. You know, if we could fix all of the ills, politics included, but that means making change, because it's going to be, if we continue, we have to decline, and then we have to rebuild, and that's where we are.
You guys have a closing word as Americans to, I'm assuming, it sounds like you're both Democrats, to the other side of the aisle. What would you say to them that's not full of vitriol?
There's no message here, only because it's neither politics nor the presidency. It's where we are as a country. And I think that's something that we all have to look at, because right now, anybody, you take it, what do you think of the pots? It's a zoo, it's a circus, it's any of the number of things. When you have the maybe president-to-be using foul, and I mean foul language, in a presidency, this is not presidential. And then for people to be calling liar, liar, pants on fire, those are children doing children things, and we're going to make them president of the United States. The Democrats calling each other, you're a socialist, you're a bureaucrat. Show me leadership. I don't have leadership.
And the media just egging it on.
Yeah, yes.
I'm tired of the demonization that's going on. So everybody's looking for enemies. And rather than look at enemies, there are problems that need to be solved, issues that need to be addressed. And when the rhetoric gets carried away, when the anger gets over the top, everybody's looking for scapegoats and excuses. And if we stop doing that, we'll probably be far better off.
Yeah.
We'll be more productive. And,
yeah.
Thanks a lot for your time, guys. All the best to you.
All right, thank you.
All right, I'll give you a card.
Remember Starbuck, Moonlight Feels Right, 1976? This is a year later. A song called Call Me by Starbuck. Dusty Show. Marimba player, just like Moonlight Feels Right. He's one of the best, don't you think? I'll let you mull it over. Fred's not so sure about that marimba sound. You gotta love that analog synth, though.
You're drawing.
Yes, I am.
You're students. Where do you go to school?
We go to the New School.
The New School, that's kind of a cool place. Are you from New York City?
No, California.
All the way from California. You heard about the New School out there. How about you?
I'm from Dubai.
From Dubai? Yeah. Wow, Dubai. Who lives in Dubai?
My family.
What brought your family to Dubai? Are they in the oil industry or
something? No. They're teachers.
So do you, what do you speak there? Arabic?
Everyone speaks English. No need to learn Arabic.
So you just know a few words here and there.
Yeah.
So you're old enough to vote now. Will this be your first election where you can vote?
Yeah.
Are you excited about it?
I am.
Who are you going to pull the lever for?
Bernie.
For Bernie. You're feeling the burn. How about you?
Yes, me too.
Now I'm surprised you're both women. Don't you think it's time for a female president?
I think absolutely it's time for a female president, but personally I just agree with Bernie's politics over Hillary's, even though I think she's great. Like, in the end, both of them, I think, would be better than any of the Republican candidates, but personally I agree more with what Bernie is proposing that we do.
If Hillary wins the nomination, you'd vote for her?
Absolutely.
What about Donald Trump? What does he make you feel? Do you think he's funny? Does he scare you? What do you think of him?
He's ridiculous. I thought he was funny. I don't really think he's funny anymore. It's getting a little bit scarier now that, like, I don't think he would actually win because of all of his, like, really crazy ideas. I don't think he would actually win the presidency, which is comforting, but it's just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it was entertaining in the beginning, but it's scary how far he's gotten. I hope that people don't. There's some people who have crazy views the same way he does, but I'm hoping that's not enough. A lot of it is because it's good for the media. It's a lot of good time for them on television. The crazier things he says, the more publicity he's going to get. So really just a lot of it is hyped up by the media because it's good for their views.
You guys are young. Young people are inherently optimistic, I think. Are you optimistic about the future of the United States?
I think it depends on who wins this election, I guess.
Yeah, I think the same thing.
What if Trump did win? What would happen?
I would move to Canada.
You know, everybody says that. Would you really do it?
Probably not, but I would definitely be disappointed and afraid about what kind of things he would actually get passed.
What's your message of peace and love to people all around the world, from you young artists? What message would you give to people out there?
To, you know, be accepting of everyone. And if someone's not hurting you or anyone around them, just to leave them alone and let them do what they're doing.
It looks like you're both accomplished artists already. What's your dream for the future with your art? What do you want to do? I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of options, but do you have something in mind, a dream occupation at the end of it all?
I guess my very dream occupation would be a Disney animator.
For film, or?
Yeah, for film.
How about you?
I'm majoring in art history. I want to be a curator.
A curator for a museum?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. I'm excited for both of your futures, and I wish you all the best. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Of course, thank you.
I'll give you a card.
AccuPlaylisters, help me out. I don't know who the artist is. The original theme from Johnny Quest. I love Johnny Quest as a kid. Seems to me it was on in prime time originally before it moved to Saturday morning. Who's the artist? I think it's 1964. It's that time of year when we're doing logs here to pay the artists whose music you hear on FMU. Make sure they get a little remuneration. Lots of talk about the International Space Station flying overhead. Did you see it?
What's your first name?
Hi, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Good, man.
Where are you from, Joe?
From New York.
From your whole life, yes. Born and bred. Do you follow politics?
Somewhat.
Which side do you generally operate on, right or left?
There's an alt right down the middle.
Do you consider yourself an independent?
I do.
You voted for people on both sides at one time or another?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How about this time? Do you have a candidate that you like as the election gets
mayor
closer?
Mayor Bloomberg.
Yeah, now you're the second guy who said that today. What is it about the former mayor that appeals to you?
He's sensible. He kind of disenfranchised the extremists and kind of come up with solutions for society.
Do you think he will jump into the fray?
I do believe so, given the trajectory.
Will that pull people away from Hillary Clinton?
It's unclear, in my mind, how that will play out.
I have to ask about Trump. What are your feelings on Donald Trump?
I think he is a showman. He's not fit for office.
You feel like he's doing it for fun?
It's a great question. What is the underlying motivation?
Ego or...
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I would say what underpins it all is economics. He's somebody who understands economics are good. We need to be able to kind of deploy resources efficiently to generate economics. The question, of course, comes down to how do those economics get distributed? And then we have a tax code for that. But if we're not making money, if we're not doing things, then it all falls apart because then it's just redistribution of wealth. So
speaking of that, I'll bring up Bernie at this point.
I think he's a socialist, and I think his policies are misguided, frankly, for this country.
Mm-hmm. Do you like Hillary at all?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Justice Scalia.
It's just policy. She could be a fine person. I don't know her personally.
Justice Scalia passed away, and that's kind of thrown things into an uproar,
yes.
The timing of it. Do you think President Obama should be allowed to nominate someone and have that process go forward before the election, or should we wait till after the election?
I think we should wait till after the election. I do think it kind of raises the substance and the ramifications of this electoral cycle. It's really staggering, actually.
Why do you think we should wait? A lot of Democrats would say, we elected him, he's got a year to go, why should we have to wait?
He's a lame duck, right? And I think there is precedent for that.
Are you optimistic about the future of the country?
That's an excellent question, and that really is the question, isn't it? Are you optimistic about the future of the country? I'm hopeful. And I think that's kind of just a character trait on my part.
Just the kind of person you are?
Yes.
Uh-huh. In your darkest hour, what do you fear for the country?
My fear for the country is a lack of being able to unite. Because generally speaking, we're all the same. If we focus on the commonality and the decency, we'll be much better off. But we seem to have kind of become held hostage to extremist ideology, which is splitting us and fracturing us. And I think it's also what's truly interesting is that the degree of discord is way significant. There's a lot of upset people that do not like the status quo, left or right.
Do you think the corporatocracy is real? Do you think the rich man is calling the shots? Or has it always been that way?
I think it's always been that way. But I think it's also quite clear things have gapped out, meaning the distribution is skewed.
Here's the toughest question of all, probably, and the last question for you. I appreciate your time. What is a message you would have, a message of, I say peace and love as an old hippie, to our listeners on all sides of the aisle, right or left, just as Americans and people across the world, from your heart, a message to people out there?
Hold on to what you value, believe in what you do, and be confident that your leaders will have wisdom.
I appreciate your time. Well spoken, sir. And,
thank you.
I wish you all the best. I'll give you my card. My show airs tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. I hope you can listen.
Thank you very much.
This is cool. Dave Borden and Mother Mallard, continuing story of Counterpoint, part one. Started writing this back in 76. This wasn't released till 1990 on the Cuneiform label. Dave Borden and Mother Mallard on The Dusty Show. I'm glad you're out there. Keep listening. Hardy along at 7. The TNP follows. We'll be right back.
Obviously, the war in Iraq was a big, fat mistake, all right? George Bush made a mistake. We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty. We should have never been in Iraq. We have destabilized the Middle East. They lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, all right. Governor Bush.
What's your first name?
Ayana.
Ayana, do you pay attention to politics?
Not so much.
Not so much. Did you vote in the last election?
I did.
Uh-huh. Have you been happy with the job President Obama's done?
Yes.
Will you miss him when he's gone?
I will.
Are you going to vote for Hillary next time?
I really don't know who I'm going to vote for, but it won't be Republican.
Do you know about Bernie Sanders?
I have been trying to keep up, and so I know that he's winning in certain states and not in others.
35. Where's the bathroom?
Are you optimistic about the future of the country?
You have to be. No other choice but to
What do you do for a living? Let me ask.
I'm a psychotherapist.
A psychotherapist. Uh-oh, is this someone you know here? All right, it looks like you have to go. I appreciate your time. What's your message of peace and love for our listeners?
Just to be hopeful. We have to have a future, right?
What's the best way to hold on to our psychological health as a psychotherapist?
Take care of ourselves.
With food and nutrition?
Well, and coping skills, healthy coping skills, yeah.
Give us one coping skill. For stress.
Meditation.
For stress.
Meditation.
That's your suggestion?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's your first name?
Harry.
Harry, what do you think about this? Justice Scalia passed away. Should Obama be able to appoint a new justice, or should we wait for a new president?
Wait for a new president.
And which makes me assume you're a Republican.
I'm independent.
Independent. Do you think even if he does recommend somebody, they're going to put it off until after the election?
I think there's a 90% chance.
Do you have a candidate that you like as we head toward the election on the right side of the aisle?
Michael Bloomberg.
You like Bloomberg? You think he's going to jump in the fray?
I do. There's no one in the middle.
You think that's going to hurt who most? Hillary?
It's going to hurt everybody who's in it right now. I think he genuinely could be the first independent elected president.
What about Trump? Your thoughts on him?
A lot of people are going to vote for him, but I would be disappointed if he were elected president.
Thanks for your time, Harry.
Okay, take
care. Man. These are the Dirty Mustangs and their cover of Sweet Emotion. They give their music away free on iTunes, covering classic rock songs. I love this. We'll be right back.
Mustangs. I love this garagey sound. Reminds me of jamming with my old band back in high school. Maybe you had a band too, or maybe you do now. I appreciate your willingness to let me ask you, what's your first name?
Paul.
Paul, where are you from? Are you from New York?
I do live here, yes.
An accent there.
Yes, I'm English.
Are you a dual citizen?
I am, yes.
Yeah. How long have you been in the States?
14 years.
Are you interested in American politics?
Oh, hugely.
And you're able to vote here now?
Yes, I am. I'm a citizen.
Are you generally more conservative or more liberal?
More liberal.
Do you like President Obama?
Some good, some bad. The Affordable Health Care Act is a good idea, but poor implementation. That's one thing.
Would you like to see single payer?
Not necessarily single payer. America's got a good habit of bureaucracy, and single payer could be a nightmare. But the way it's rolled out, where some states have gone for it, some states haven't, it's a bit of a hodgepodge mess.
So. Besides tea and things like that, what do you prefer about England over the United States?
We don't have as many guns. That's a big thing.
Well, what's with America and our guns? Have you thought about it? Why do we have such a love affair with them?
I don't know. I wish I knew.
Is it the movies?
It could be. I know some of it is rooted in sort of the Constitution, the Second Amendment and everything, but the number of guns in America is frightening compared to when you go to European countries, and England especially.
A man like Donald Trump, are you amused by him, afraid of him? What do you feel about him?
Initially amused. As I move on, more afraid as he gets more votes.
He's tapped into something, hasn't he?
He has. The thought of him being the president is scary. That's the afraid bit.
If you had to pick a candidate from the right, is there anyone you find tolerable? Rubio, Kasich, Bush, anybody?
Kasich is probably, he's probably the most moderate one. Some of the ones like Ted Cruz are so far to the right, it's scary how far the GOP has gone in that direction.
I'm hearing the name Bloomberg now. People keep saying Bloomberg. I'm going to vote for Bloomberg.
Yeah.
What about you?
My fear is that Bloomberg may pull away votes from somebody like Clinton and therefore let somebody like a Cruz get in. And that's the scary part.
Do you like Hillary?
Hillary is a consummate politician, so I'm not quite sure what to make of her.
Tell Americans something they should be proud of. We get kicked around a little sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But what should we be happy about America? Should we still be proud of our country?
Yes, you should be. I mean, there's lots of great things about America. There's some things which need improving, but...
Tell us some good things.
Good things. I mean, America still is the beacon of democracy. It's seen around the world as the free country. In many ways, more so than even the Europeans. You know, England, the mother of parliament and everything, has got certain more restrictive laws around freedom of speech, etc., which American stands up for. You see civil liberties groups, etc., standing up for the right to have hateful speech. And that's to be lauded. You know, when you stand up for something that you find personally disgusting.
It's the Nazis or the Ku Klux Klan.
But they allow them to do that, and that is something that Americans should be very proud of.
I appreciate your time.
No problem.
I wish you all the best. Here's my card. Tomorrow night at 6. I hope you can tune in.
Thank you, sir.
That's Paul from England. These guys were from England, too, but had more success stateside in the 80s. Remember The Fix? I always liked this song. Red Skies on The Dusty Show, TNP. Jamie West Oram on guitar. Cliff says, I haven't thought about this song in years. You guys are loving it.
What's your first name?
I thought this was anonymous.
Oh, okay. Well, make one up.
Okay, Catherine.
Catherine, do you pay attention to politics?
A little bit.
A little bit, but you're pretty busy most of the time.
Yeah.
Is it not really just something that interests you too much?
No, it does interest me.
Did you vote last time around?
I did.
And who got your vote?
Mitt Romney.
Do you consider yourself generally more conservative or more liberal?
I'm probably going to give you the answer that most people give you my age, which is somewhere in the middle.
That's actually really insightful because people, they kind of don't like to say. They say they're independents. Do you have a candidate that you like? Or the election's starting to draw nearer now. Is there someone that you like?
Nope, not really. But if I were to vote today, it'd be Hillary. There are things that I appreciate about her, and I think she's super smart and the most equipped to run the country out of the candidates. But
it's interesting that you voted for Romney last time, and now you're thinking about voting for Hillary. Does the fact that she's a woman enter into it? Are you excited about that possibility of our first female president? I know I am.
Yeah, definitely excited, but it wouldn't make or break my decision.
What makes you trust her enough that you would vote for her?
I think just her experience is far greater than the rest of the candidates, particularly on the international relations front.
You're not feeling the burn?
No.
No, you definitely don't want to vote for him. What is it about Bernie you don't like?
Well, first of all, he just rubs me the wrong way.
In what way? Something about him?
Yeah, there's just something about him I can't stand. I can't listen to him speak.
His accent or something?
Yeah, he just doesn't come across as very presidential.
Okay.
I also think that he's just way too extreme.
Have you not been in favor of President Obama? How do you feel about him?
I'm actually not as polarized as I think most other people are. I think he did a fair job with what he was handed, which was kind of like a pile of shit. I also think he's a very respectable guy. He hasn't had a lot of, you know, drama.
You respect him as a man, a family man?
Yeah, he's the kind of guy I'd want on my, like, nonprofit board. Mm-hmm. Maybe not running the country.
Do you think he would make a good Supreme Court justice?
Oh, I haven't thought about that, so I don't know.
Well, I thank you for your time. I've asked you about enough questions. What's your message of peace and love to our listeners in New Jersey, in New York, around the world on the internet, on WFMU? What would you say to people out there?
As much as you can, think about what is going to elevate this country together. Not to copy Bernie Sanders' whole mantra, but try to be a little bit selfless when you think about this decision, because
it's a big one. Do you worry about the division in the country that's present right now, the polarity?
I think that's the most concerning thing.
Are you hopeful for the future of the country?
No, not really.
You love America?
I love America, yep.
Thanks for your time.
Okay.
I'll give you my card.
This is the former singer of Sabotage, John Oliva. The band is John Oliva's Pain, the song You Never Know from 2008. Metal Stylings on the Dusty Show, Clay Pigeon with you. Glad you're there. Stay with us.
What's your first name?
Larry.
Larry, you from New York City?
No.
I'm from Iowa. Where are you from?
Montana.
From Montana. Butte, Helena, where are you from out there?
Yeah, that's close enough.
I think, what do I think of? Max Baucus came to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty conservative place generally out there.
Pretty conservative, that's true.
But you can probably find a Democrat or two if you look hard enough.
There's quite a few of us.
Are you a Democrat?
Yeah.
No, I was guessing on that. There's a Montana conservative right
well,
there.
Well, anybody wearing a ball cap probably doesn't look like a Democrat, but I am.
Do you get some grief for that sometimes in Montana?
Yes, I do get some grief for that, yeah.
What brings you to New York?
I'm going to India.
You're going to India? You seem too young to be retired. Is it business?
Nope, it's just...
Something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah.
Where are you going in India?
Well, I'm going to go to Delhi, and then I'm going to just kind of make a circle.
Is there a spiritual component to it?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you hope to gain? The Beatles went to India looking for enlightenment. Are you looking for some enlightenment?
I just want to get to know the people a little bit.
It's an important emerging country, isn't it?
Right.
Do you like President Obama?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've been pleased with him all these 8 years? Will you miss him?
Yes.
Now, what about Bernie? Are you feeling the burn?
Bernie's a good idea, and it's wonderful. We finally have someone that can be called a socialist, actually says that without getting their head cut off. It's nice to be able to see someone call himself a socialist.
You have no problem. Do you think we could use a little more socialism in our system?
Yes. That's hard for Americans to accept socialism. It scares them, freaks them out.
It's the word, isn't it? They demonize the word.
Well, they think they're going to have to share. And socialism has got some component of sharing. And if you're on top, you don't want to share.
You're doing okay financially.
Yeah.
And you don't mind sharing.
No, sharing is a good thing.
Yeah. What about Hillary? If it comes down to it, will you pull the lever for Hillary?
Yes, definitely. We'll have to kind of see how that works out.
What are your thoughts on Donald Trump? He's certainly got our interest here. As I asked the last guy, does he amuse you more or scare you more?
He concerns me. It's hard for me to understand why he's gotten as far as he has. His constituents, who are they? Why has he gotten as far as he has?
Is he connecting out there in Montana with a lot of people?
Yes, I don't know about a lot, but yes, he's connecting.
Mm-hmm. Are you hopeful for the future of the country?
I don't think the United States is going to be able to do as well financially or economically as it has in the past. But I have great hope that the people of the United States will step up to the plate and meet the changes they got to meet and have the strength to do it because of who we are. I think we're able to do that, but it'll probably only come painfully.
What's your message of peace and love to all our listeners in Montana and New Jersey where this show airs, here in New York, around the world, in India, on the internet, on WFMU?
It's compassion. Just as much compassion as you can have for each other. Just stick with that. You're going to be okay. Just try to be kind, try to understand, and I think you'll be fine. I think you'll get along with each other better, and I think you'll like yourself better.
You're a nice man. Namaste.
Ah, thank you.
It's a lively night on the AccuPlaylist. Enjoying your comments as always. This is Jeff Beck. The song is Diamond Dust. I didn't pay attention when I downloaded it. You guys know, is this from Blow by Blow or Wired? It's got to be one of those two classic 70s fusion guitar albums. The great Jeff Beck, Diamond Dust, on Dusty.
Jones Channel.
You think I'm happy that there's about a 98% chance they killed Scalia? You think I want to be the one that breaks it? Detectives question lack of autopsy in Scalia death. Let's just listen to CNN, because they just said he's dead, that's it, forget about it, move on. Well, you know what? We're not moving on because you said so.
Pretty clear about what is supposed to happen now. When there is a vacancy on the Supreme Court, the President of the United States is to nominate someone. The Senate is to consider that nomination, and either they disapprove of that nominee or that nominee is elevated to the Supreme Court. I'm amused when I hear people who claim to be strict interpreters of the Constitution suddenly reading into it a whole series of provisions that are not there. There is more than enough time for the Senate to consider in a thoughtful way the record of a nominee that I present and to make a decision.
I added the gong. It's a little heavy-handed, wasn't it? What, Alex Jones, got you stirred up out there? Bebo says he's an insult to Jeff Beck and to all humans.
You are a World War II veteran.
Right.
Which branch of the service
were you
in? Air Force.
Yeah. I was a crew member on a B-25.
Did you see action?
Yeah.
Where at?
The Japanese side.
Yeah. Are any of your old guys still around?
I have no contact with them. I have any idea.
I want to, before anything, thank you for your service, sincerely.
Okay. Thank you.
You said you don't care for the president so much.
No, I don't believe that. He has a deep feeling towards America, as I've known it, from his perspective. I would not vote for him.
Do you respect him as a man, as a family man, or you think he's...
No, not particularly. I don't think he has any attributes that I admire.
Have you been watching the debates on the Republican side?
I have, but it's been boring to me.
It bores you? Is there a candidate out of the whole field?
Well, I'd like real estate. What's his name again?
Donald Trump?
Donald Trump.
You like Trump. He excites you a little?
I'm inclined towards Trump.
What do you like about him? He just stirs things up?
He stirs things up, and he says what's on his mind, and he talks spontaneously, and he expects to have answers to the spontaneous questions which he raises.
I was surprised last Saturday when he came out and said that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Did that surprise you that he would say that?
I think it shocks me because as I think about it, I was thinking about it now, to my knowledge, there are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq right now. So I don't think we have any cause for concern. What we do have a cause is for the rest of the world to recognize the danger that the so-called free world is in right now.
I'm guessing you're not a big Hillary Clinton fan, but I'm also guessing you don't have a problem with a woman being president. Is that true?
None whatsoever.
Yeah?
No.
Do you have thoughts on Hillary?
I think she's a very successful opportunist.
As a veteran and a man wearing that cap, a man I can respect for that a lot, you must have a deep love for the country.
Very much.
Are you hopeful for our future, or are we going downhill?
Downhill.
What makes you say so?
Because this is not the America I remember as a child. There used to be an attachment to the flag, an attachment to our history, an attachment to people. All of that has diminished greatly. So I'm very concerned. I'm concerned for my grandchildren.
What do you want to say? This show will be broadcast all around the world. It's available around the world anyway. To any service people out there, maybe they're overseas listening, what would you say to them?
I wish them the best, that they're representing a good cause. They represent America, and America is still the greatest country in the world.
Thanks so much for your time. I wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
From 1967, Jimmy Hendrix plays Bob Dylan at the Monterey Pop Festival. Great version. Hardy's coming up at the top of the hour, you guys. Stay put.
Yes, as I said before, it's really groovy. I'd like to bore you for about 6 or 7 minutes and do a little thing. Yeah. Excuse me for a minute. Just let me play my guitar, all right? Right now with the little thing by Bob Dylan. That's his grandma over there. That's a little thing called Like a Rolling Stone. Once upon a time, you're dressed so fine. Through the bumps of diamond in your prime. Oh, didn't you? People call, say, but where, dog? You're bound to fall, you thought they all. Well, couldn't you? You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Look at you, but now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't, baby, seem so proud. I happen to be scrounging. Yeah, your name. And all the pretty people, they all laughing, drinking, thinking that they got it made. Yeah. Exchanging all precious gifts and things, but you better take your diamond ring. I think you better pawn it, babe. Yes, I know I missed the verse. Don't worry. You used to be so amused at the pulling. And a sweet talk daddy you. Go to him now, he calls you. You can't refuse. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now, you got no secrets to conceal.
So great. I wish I could have been there. They say that was the good one, not Woodstock, that was the one where the real peace and love was. Monterey Pop Festival, Jimi Hendrix from 1967. And Dylan, too, always really loved the way Jimmy interpreted his songs. So why not? It's nice to hear Jimmy all high and having fun. I hope you're doing the same. Hey, look at it. At the time, it's 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. here in Jersey City. You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM, and online at WFMU.org. Clay Pigeon saying thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Dusty Show. Hope to catch you next week at 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. Stay tuned now for Hardy White and Miracle Nutrition. That's coming up. Everybody, take care and always remember.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? Just join me now. I don't have to tell you what we're going to do. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we get to be together. Oh, and those moments, they're so rare. Well, it's once a week. I think that's actually good. You have to stay on a schedule. Too much of a good thing or too less of a good thing is different than a good thing. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad that you're with me today. Oh, you know what? There is no blueprint for living your life or for aging, for growing old. And if there were a blueprint, it would have a coffee stain right over the important part, where everything goes together. So I can't see that part. Just make it up. I always thought, oh, I wish life came with a manual, some kind of instruction booklet. And a friend said, it does. It's your favorite novel. Perhaps you should use something like Catcher in the Rye as your guidebook to youth. And I said, well, then I can smoke cigarettes at 12? No, I tell you what, there is no guidebook, there is no instructions. In fact, I'm not even sure what we're doing, whether it's a game that we need instructions for, or whether it's we're building some sort of IKEA end table, it's not clear. So even if I had the instructions, I wouldn't know what they were for, and maybe the instructions would say things like, to solve this problem, get a Gehumelmammon. I don't even know what that is. A lot of times people will give us advice, and there will be a huge problem because there's some sort of language we don't understand. And so I try not to ever give advice. I don't know how we got here. I don't know where we are, and I don't know where we're going. So why would I tell you how to get there? Why would I tell you what to do when you're there? I haven't any advice for you. So people are so quick with it. I'm mainly quick with it, like they say in the Billy Joel song, I'm quick with a smoke and a flip of your something. I forget. I don't know, but he's quick with something. I think it was the Piano Man. How he could light your smoke while he's playing, I do not know. There's a lot of pieces written for one hand. And why is that? Because a lot of pianists in the old days, pianists in the old days would lose part of their hands. They had these the lid of the piano would slam down on them. And I'd seen this a lot of times in slapstick. But it's true. And it's like, bang! And then you just got the one hand. And so you just play it. You play it like that. So you just, look, I wrote take five. Just one hand. How about that? Oh, my goodness. You know the sound of one hand playing the piano? What's the sound of 500 hands playing the piano? Well, we know that from the movie. But it's just louder. And if they're not all playing the same thing, it doesn't even sound like music. And that's why life doesn't seem to have a tune, because everybody is whistling a different tune. And gosh, that's the way it should be. It's more like a soundscape. And if you were to listen to everybody talking at once and everybody thinking at once, it would sound like this or something. You wouldn't be able to, it would be unintelligible to you. And so we divide life up into little pieces to make them more manageable. It's like eating something big. Someone brings you, say, I've got the world's largest gumball. That's fantastic, but I can't get it in my mouth. It's the size of a, what is the size of a cage ball, a balance ball, like a yoga balance ball. Are you following me? But it's gum? Now, how do we eat that? You got to cut it up into little pieces. But when you do, now think about this, philosophers, it's no longer a ball. I don't know. That's not interesting. Oh, my friends, I tell you, sometimes I have rough times. I don't know what to do with my life, you know, and it's worse when I'm alone. And that's why I'm here with you. You're still alone. No, I'm here with you, my friends. No, you're alone. No, No, I'm here with my friends. You know, I can never really be inside your head, so I'll tell you, imagining you is just as accurate, I think, as being with you, because I'm still imagining who you are. I'll never be inside that. I don't know that you're not a robot or that you're not... You could be a really clever cuttlefish, and I would have no idea. I've floated this idea before, that there are cuttlefish among us, and I do believe that. How do we know when something is what it is or whether it's in disguise? I've had that. The bushes, for years, I thought the bushes in front of my house, I had two boxwood hedges, and they weren't. They were gentlemen in hunting gear. They had camouflage hunting gear, and they've been squatting there for I don't know how long. What are they hunting? They said there's a special kind of squirrel in my yard that can only be found there. And so they're crouched there, and they have a blind, you know, around them, so I couldn't see them. And they've been there hunting for forever. Oh, I tell you, just sometimes you just open your, if you just open your eyes, you'll wake up. And that's no good. Some of us like to remain dreaming. I go to sleep at night sometimes and I think, all right, now I have all of my imagination at my disposal. I can now make a movie in my head that's as real life. I'm going to make the ultimate fantasy come true for my life. I'm close my eyes and here's the world I imagine. And do y'all do this at night? And then this is what I think. Nothing. I'll start thinking about, man, I wonder why that door to the basement's sticking. That's what I do with my imagination. When I have the whole world before me like that, and I can have anything, put my place in, I have no idea what to do with it. Oh, my goodness, how about that? It's like free time. Sometimes you do this to children and say, all right, free time. And if they're very clever, inventive children, they can put together games and sometimes, but some of us, the dullard children, we stand there and go, oh, what are we supposed to do? Parents, I'm sure children have come to you and say, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. And the children and the parents scream at them and say, what do you mean you're bored? There's plenty of things to do. You can go write a poem about being bored or write a novel about being bored or make a board game called The Bored Game. That's about being bored and how bored you are. Well, sometimes people have... If you want a life that's not boring, give yourself a challenge. Cut your head off. Then live your life. Oh, my goodness. You'll never be bored again. Everything will be harder. So how am I going to eat? I don't know. How do I get the food down my neck hole when I don't have eyes? So you can have more challenges if you had fewer resources. Is that what you want? Oh, my goodness. Many of us do not know what we want. And we go to a restaurant and we long for what do you call it? The price fix, I forget how you say it, the fixed price, just the menu. When you say it like that, so you go into a restaurant and they say, tonight we're starting with a consomme made out of bitterness or something, out of a French worldview. And it has a little piece, kind of spongy stuff in there. I don't know. I think it's tripe. But that's part of life, is tripe. And then the chef has prepared an amuse-bouche for you. What is it? It's a joke written on marzipan. You eat it. It literally amuses you until so you read the joke. I don't know. What is a Maury Amsterdam joke or something? And then you eat it. And the joke goes inside of you. Then after the next course, what's the next course there? Is it a main course? A fish course, I think. And they bring